Oh, hello, my love. You got my message then? Patrick's on my lap and I daren't move her. But come on in, come on in. You know where I am.
Oh, look at her. She's still feeling sorry for herself after the operation. You've been a right little sad sack this week, haven't you? She got her leg stuck in next door's drainage system. Lord knows what she was doing down there. But that's why she's all trussed up like James Caan in Misery. You know, after Bex's wonderful story about her mum's perfume last week, I thought we'd stick with the perfume theme for this week too. You seem to like that one. And I've got a great one here from the lovely Jo Forrester. Jo's a TV and radio presenter, podcaster, he's a producer, he's a director. The list goes on and on and on, to be honest. I don't know how he does it all. He must be knackered. Anyway, when Jo did have time in his diary, he popped in here and the scent he chose to bottle is Chanel Coco Mademoiselle. Ooh, sounds fancy that, doesn't it? Well, let's see what it conjures up then, eh? Here, have a whiff of this.
I would describe it as a sweet, cinnamony, almondy smell. Actually, I think if it wasn't for the context that I know this perfume in, I actually might find it a bit cloying. When I smell that, it is almost like having your consciousness hijacked. No matter what conversation you're having, what you're thinking about, where you're going, for half a second, you're there again, and just bang, it just crowbars its way into your mind. I was 15 years old. I had recently gone through a growth spurt, so I'd gone from being a chubby little funster to a slightly more svelte, Pete Doherty looking teen. For the first time ever, women noticed me. That's a very exciting time in kind of any young lad's life. There was a girl at the school next door, so I went to an all-boys school, and this girl was so unobtainable and so deeply glamorous and mysterious that even when we met the girls, she was never there because she had a boyfriend in the year above. Anyway, they split up and she just turned up one day on a group outing to Thorpe Park. She and I got chatting. And we really, really hit it off. We spent the whole day together just hanging out. We got on so well. She was just funny and interesting and clever and just clearly nice. She was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. And to be fair, I probably still think that. I later found out through the grapevine, i.e. text messages on my Nokia 3310, that she liked me. We ended up having a very very short, ill-fated courtship where we never even kissed. We went out a couple of times, including a time where we went to the cinema, and in the cinema, she was crying. The reason she was crying, I asked her, is essentially because what I didn't realise was she was completely heartbroken and just in a complete mess over this ex-boyfriend and what had happened. Really, she wasn't looking for anyone else. She was in love with him, but I was 15. I didn't have any of the emotional nuance or sensitivity to realise that. And that night, we then went to a pub down by the river in Richmond. She drank Southern Comfort and lemonade. I remember that. There was a moment when I walked her home. And outside her house, there was a moment where now I know that's the moment that you kiss them. But I didn't, because I panicked and I didn't know what to do. So we hugged, she went home. Anyway, the next couple of weeks, it fizzled out. But she wore Coco Mademoiselle. And I always remember her telling me that's what the perfume was called. So I thought it was the height of elegance. The whole time around her, I just remember feeling incredibly happy, but also incredibly anxious. Second guessing everything I did. Just being paralyzed, just being frozen by indecision. I'd only like kissed a couple of girls. It's the first girl that I'd ever had a chance with. On top of that, she was absolutely my dream woman. It was very much a sensory overload. Total mix of just those teenage hormones having my system for the first time in my life flooded with that feeling that I was totally unable to recognize or deal with. I just didn't know what to do with it. I beat myself up for months saying, oh, if I hadn't have done that, if I'd have just kissed her, then we'd have fallen in love and we'd have been... Of course, it wouldn't have worked out like that. She was heartbroken. It was never meant to be. It didn't happen over the subsequent few years. So it wasn't going to happen. I think the way that I feel about this girl still is not that, like, I still have feelings for her. It's nearly 20 years ago. But the feelings at the time were so strong, and it was such an emotionally and psychologically formative episode that it's had a profound impact, and her perfume is intrinsically tied up with that. And whenever I get that scent walking down the street, she flashes into my mind. And actually, thinking about it now, she flashes into my mind wearing what she was that first day we met. And I remember her sitting on the top deck of the bus as we left the car park in Thorpe Park, looking back and talking to me. And just like the fact that her undivided attention was on me. It's an old cliche, but made me feel like the most important person in the world. And that's the snapshot of her that I see when I smell it. She's a totemic figure in my life. And I kind of want to say thank you to her, because like all the people in your life, for good or for bad reasons, she's extremely important. And everybody has the one that got away. And I think my one that got away just also happened to be the first one.
Oh, we all remember that, don't we? the intensity, passion, and often heartbreak of the first flushes of love. I never even met the girl that holds prize place in Joe's memory, but that's even left me with a vivid image in my head of her sitting on the bus, with her eyes smiling and the sun shining on her hair through the window. See, Keira Knightley, perfume adverts don't always need to be you paragliding or bungee jumping or escaping on a speedboat. You can just have a lovely bus trip to Thorpe Park. I want to see that in the next Chanel advert, actually. Keira Knightley looking pensive on a pirate ship and shitting herself on a ghost train. I'd buy that perfume. After hearing both Joe and Bex's stories, I've realised I haven't got a signature scent. Well, not that I'm aware of. Damp, maybe. I did used to have a penchant for Flower by Kenzo. Well, penchant is putting it lightly. I'd drown myself in the stuff before a night out, spraying it about the place like Lewis Hamilton on the podium with a bottle of champagne. I was absolutely dripping in the stuff. And I remember once, we were at our local pub. Well, it was a bar really, a student bar. And it was always about a 12-person deep scrum right to the entrance and a good 20 minutes of your life, if you were lucky, that you'd waste queuing for a £1 pint. And this particular night, I was about 18 minutes in, sweating. Fringe was a mess, but it didn't matter. Because I was up front, I was primed, my forearms firmly sticking to the bar, whilst furiously trying to make eye contact with the staff. When suddenly, in the distance, from the back of the scrum, I heard someone say, "Jesus, who's drenched themselves in Kenzo?" And I thought, "Oh Christ, that's me, that is." Even over all that sweat and booze, I was still making people's eyes water best part of 10 metres away. And I had a taxi driver crack a window. I don't think that's the sort of memorable signature scent I should be cultivating, is it? Repulsion by Paco Rabanne. Maybe I need to work on that. But then again, we don't get to choose what smells people remember us by. Do we? No. They're bound tightly to the emotions we evoke within and nestle deep within their own olfactory worlds. Oh, I think my legs are going to sleep. I'm going to have to pop her on a sick bed in a minute. Look, sorry I can't see you out, but thanks for coming. And you'll come and see us again next week, won't you? Oh, and while you're away, have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you, because I'd love to hear it. Tell your friends. Tell your friends and tell your family too. As you know, there's plenty of room on the shelves yet, and I'm really enjoying sharing the olfactory with you. Send me a message to theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me. And Katrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later.